Good afternoon, Wrangle. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:01. We have our guest, John Tullerud, in the studio today, and he is Wrangle's new Salvation Army officer. So you can call in to ask a question or just say hi anytime during this program. That number is 874-2345. John, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So before we get into what the Salvation Army is doing this time of year and year round, I want to know a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So like you said, my name is John, and I was born to Salvation Army parents. So my parents are also Salvation Army officers, and my grandparents on both sides are also Salvation Army officers as well. So it's quite a big gig in our family. One of the things that happens with Salvation Army officers is they move around a lot. And so approximately every 5 years, I was moving around. So while I was born in Idaho, I actually graduated high school in Colorado after time in Oregon and Northern and Southern California. So that was kind of fun. And then I joined the Army at 17, headed out, was deployed overseas to Iraq and Kuwait for a little bit of time, came back, and moved to Alaska in 2008 as an employee with the Salvation Army to run our operations in Cordova. And I was there from 2008 to 2010. I moved to Anchorage to oversee our disaster services and music programs. I was also attending University of Alaska Anchorage, getting my music education degree. Graduated in 2015 and could not find a job as a teacher. Just a difficult market at the time, and I kind of believe in critical thinking, and that wasn't highly looked on. So I found a job selling cars for a couple of years, and then in 2017 I went down to California to our seminary, spent 2 years at the College for Officer Training, and then my first assignment back was in Kenai in June, and then in November I was asked to come here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, what made them say, John, we need to get you to Wrangle?
So that was one of those interesting things. We had two wonderful officers here, Majors Michael and Jennifer Bates, who had done almost 30 years of service, with over 25 of it in Alaska. And they had just decided it was time for them to retire. They were very excited. They wanted to start the next adventure in their life. And as anyone who's been a part of the Salvation Army at Christmas knows, this is not the time of year to want to be done. Mm-hmm. But it's also something you don't want to do as your last hurrah. So they put their retirement packet in, and in a quick pinch, I found out October 29th that I was moving to Wrangle from Kenai, and I was here November 13th.
Oh my gosh, John. Well, thanks for coming to Wrangle.
Oh, it was great. I'm very excited to be here. I've told this to a couple of people, including the Sentinel. I always wanted to retire. From the time I saw the movie Kindergarten Cop when I was 12 years old, I wanted to retire in the little town of Astoria, Oregon, which is a rainforest-type location, a small town where everybody knows everybody. And so, lo and behold, here I am in a small town where everybody knows everybody in a rainforest type environment.
It was meant to be.
That's kind of what I think too. So
okay, right on. Yeah, so you just came from Kenai, and you told me that, you know, your wife will be coming here soon with your two kids.
Yes. We get married January 3rd, and January 4th the kids fly here, and January 6th we join them. So grandma will be joining them to help get them transitioned so they can get into the high school as soon as possible.
Okay, yeah. Where are you getting married?
We're getting married in Wasilla. The Salvation Army has a camp there that they send kids to every summer. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents, who I mentioned a little earlier, my mom's parents were actually officers in Alaska for 25 of their 40 years of service. Mm. And they were leaders of the region. They were also, my grandfather opened the Fairbanks Corps. They were through Juneau and Petersburg and Cake. They traveled all through the Southeast. They claim they have a child born in every community that the Salvation Army had a corps in the Southeast during that time. And so the chapel there is dedicated to my grandparents. And so we're getting married in that chapel to kind of bring some memories together.
Yeah, that's awesome, John. That's very cool. And I'm sure your grandparents and your parents are really proud of you.
I think so.
Good, good. Okay, well, thank you for that. And it's nice to meet you. And I'm sure a lot of people know you already. But you've only been here for about a month, so I hope anybody that's tuning in will, you know, make sure to say hi to you and say, I heard you on the radio. Okay, so John, let's just get right to it. What are the activities that the Salvation Army is doing this time of year specifically?
So during the Christmas and Thanksgiving season, the Salvation Army provides food assistance for families that need a little bit of help. It doesn't mean that you're completely destitute. It doesn't even mean that there's no other way you can get food. It just might be you have to choose between paying your electric bill and putting food on the table. And I'd much rather have you pay your electric bill because I can give you some food. And so those are the people that we aim to help during this time of year, from the I just need a little bit of help to you're the only people that we can have help. And then we also do the Angel Tree, which you may have seen in the Wells Fargo Bank, the First Bank, Century Hardware, and Ottenson's True Value. We put those up, and you can grab a toy tag for any child, and names are protected. But we do put names on them to kind of help you out. And you just buy a toy for them, and you put it in, and then we give it to the parents, and they get to wrap it. They get to put it under the tree. They get to feel a little bit more into that that situation, and then we also give them a food basket to make sure that they have a little bit of extra for Christmas. We also add our red kettles, which you see right outside City Market and right outside IGA when I have volunteers to do it. Major Mike was really good at being out there all the time. Unfortunately, I have to be both Major Mike and Major Jen, and so sometimes I have to choose to be at the building as opposed to out. And so it's difficult for me to get out there, but I have Lance out at City Market dressed up as Santa Claus almost every day. And I tell you, there's nothing better than having a volunteer whose heart is so big that he'd rather give out candy canes and dress up as Santa Claus than anything else.
Thanks to Lance, you said. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, right on, Lance. Okay, so go ahead and give me a sense of, you know, how many people are you serving this time of year? How many families and then how many kids for your angel trees?
Sure. So this year we're a little on the low end of things, but I think that's due to a little bit of uptick in some things. We're looking at 40 families that we'll be serving specifically for Christmas. We did with the Ministerial Association, I want to say almost 200 individuals for the Thanksgiving boxes. Mm-hmm. But we're doing 40 families, and there's about 60 kids that are going to be given toys this year through that program and through the generosity of people in Wrangell.
Absolutely. What do your food baskets look like?
So we always try and make sure that there's some mashed potatoes, some stuffing. At Thanksgiving, we give out a turkey. During Christmas, we add a ham to it, just, you know, adding a little bit of Christmas cheer and some Christmas tradition, though Christmas traditions can vary, but we add a little bit of vegetables, a little bit of fruit, some cranberry sauce, just things to, most of the time it's to make a meal. However, I will say that this year, the generosity of both City Market and IGA, as well as the middle school and people just in general bringing in food, has allowed us to put a monthly food box together on top of the normal Christmas supplies. And that's very great. We're very grateful for the help that's been given to us.
Yeah, awesome. How many families are you serving for the monthly box?
You know, we usually see typically between 15 and 25 every month. Mm-hmm. And we do a weekly food box right now, making sure that people have supplies for the week because we hope that they won't need it for the rest of the month. But we do understand when it happens, and we want to make sure that we service individuals as much as possible.
Right on. Very cool, John. Yeah, so I have a sense of, you know, what your food boxes look like, how many people you're serving. Give me a sense of what it takes to make this happen.
Well, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that happens. We have to cultivate applications. We have to make sure that people are doing everything they can. We call this year was a very interesting year for me. It's one of the first years that I've gone through the Angel Tree system. And when we asked parents to fill out what their children would like, a lot of answers were Apple and Android and iPads and Xboxes. And I totally understand. I mean, yeah. When I was a kid, I wanted a Nintendo 64, and I was super excited. When we got one, though, it wasn't for Christmas. I should point that out. It's been an interesting year for me because I've had to call those parents and say, hey, I understand your kid wants the latest iPhone. I want the latest iPhone. What other option would your child like if, say, somebody didn't want to give them an Apple iPhone this year? Yeah. And so it's just about making sure that we get something that somebody who wants to donate and wants to give their time to the system, to the family, can buy and not feel like they're putting themselves out while doing the same thing.
Yeah, good point. Thank you, John. And then, you know, I mean, what else? What else does it take to make sure that folks are getting their food baskets?
So it's about, we have to pull in a lot of the food that's donated. I have to sort through it. Some of it I have to make sure is still usable or isn't past the expiration date. Sometimes we just don't think about that when we're buying pantry food, or when we look in our pantry and go, hey, I haven't used this for a while. Yep. Well, it might have been a little too long. One of the things that is involved there is we have some volunteers who have been very helpful in that, and they sort through it, make sure that it's good, and then we make sure that the boxes are built properly through each. We also have done a little bit of purchasing from City Market and IGA to make sure that those things are available, and they've also been very kind, ensuring that all the stuff that's past shelf life but not past expiration is donated to use. We try to get that out as soon as possible as well. So just cultivating those food boxes, putting them together. Yesterday, for example, a couple of volunteers came in and we set up each food box. We set up each family number, and we made sure that each family got the minimum requirement of the Christmas box. And then we looked around, we saw there was so much more to give. And so one of the things that we're putting in this year is a couple of cans of chili. Not because it's a traditional Thanksgiving or Christmas thing, but because that day after Christmas, that day after Thanksgiving, what do you serve? Maybe you make a chili with some ham or some turkey, whatever's given, and it helps kind of spread it out. I know I like to, when I do my Christmas ham, I like to put a little soup on the side and do some ham sliced up for sandwiches and do a couple of roasts and, you know, just set everything up so that I've got meals for weeks. And so when we were putting it together, we were like, what if we could do some things like create a chili option? And so we started putting that all together, and we ended up with enough food to give everyone a monthly food box on top of that Christmas extra.
Right on. And so it sounds like folks have already gotten their food box.
No, we distribute on Friday, the 20th, okay. And we do it from 10 to 6. Mm-hmm. But it's just about building it right now, and we're trying to make sure that we get all the toys in. I know that I was having this conversation at First Bank the other day. The Salvation Army has been doing angel trees with the presents for over 75 years. And for 78 years, nobody's turned their presents in on time. And we totally understand that, that sometimes Amazon shipping is not ideal. Sometimes it's just a last second, oh, I should get a toy for somebody. And we're appreciative of all of that. And so up until the very day we distribute, we're willing to work with it. And even after, if somebody's package comes in after, we always try and make sure we get those toys out to kids, so that they can have a Christmas too. But that's also one of the reasons we like to do distribution a week before Christmas. This year's a bit different, but a week before Christmas is always nice because it gives the parents time. It gives people who are buying those presents time to get them in, and us to get them to the families.
Yeah, I mean, I like what you're saying about some people are waiting on Amazon to deliver their toys. Like, it's like you want to give, but being in Wrangell, it can be a little harder to give, you know. Food is a little bit more expensive, and, you know, you can't just go to the store and get, you know, whatever that kid might be requesting. That's kind of interesting. So let's see what else. How many volunteers do you have?
You know, I have I have about four that are pretty constant that show up and give 8 to 12 hours a week. And then a couple of people have showed up for an hour or two here and there. But really, you know, we're in that transition moment between officers where people who may, and I don't feel like this is the case here, so I should very much clarify that before, but there are sometimes situations where previous officers may have taken advantage of volunteers, and so when that officer transition changes, that's when they decide to move away and just give themselves a break for a while, and it's totally understandable. I don't think that's the case here. A lot of what has happened, I've actually had all the people who came in as constant volunteers and introduce themselves to me and just explain that, you know, they're going out of town or they're, you know, in a different situation now. They got a job that's that works a different shift. Maybe they work nights instead of days like they used to. And so it changes everything in their availability. And that's totally understandable. And everyone's been very kind in letting me know. That is not something that happens all that frequent, so I have to give Wrangell a big shout out for that. But we're in a position right now where Christmas is upon us. We can always take volunteers, but we also understand this is also a time of year where everyone else is busy worrying about how their family's going to get things done too. And so in the coming year, when we have an opportunity to really get to meet people, get to talk to people, we'll probably be active parents at school. We'll probably be a part of a lot of different other things. We just will get that opportunity to cultivate relationships that we can use for that, for the mutual advantage, one of people being able to give back to their community, but also for us to find ways for them to give back in the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, definitely thank you, John, for coming in short notice to help out at the busiest time of the year for the Salvation Army, but also for folks in town. You know what, John? Let's go to a quick break, and then we will come back and just kind of wrap things up.
Sounds great.
Okay. So the time is 1:18. You are listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. And we have John, your Wrangell Salvation Army officer in the studio to talk about the holiday season. We will be right back. All right, we are back. The time is 1:21, and we've got John with the Salvation Army here. So we've been talking about the holiday season and how the Salvation Army is giving to folks during this time of year. But we know the Salvation Army is helping out all the time in various ways. John, you know, what are some plans that you have for Wrangell? What are some things that you want to let people know about?
Well, we're evaluating our situation here in Wrangell and what we can do to greater impact the community. I mean, right now we have assistance that we oversee for rent and utility assistance. That is, it's funded by the state government and a little bit of federal funding. But as with all government money, there are strings attached, and it is difficult, I think is the right way to say that, to be somebody who is a facilitator for those programs, but not have any say in whether or not somebody can or cannot get assistance through those programs. And so one of the things that we're going to be evaluating in the next, I'd say, 12 to 18 months is what we can do to move away from those government assistance grants. Maybe we don't stop taking them altogether, but maybe we find other programs that we can do as well that don't require the same strings or the same hand tying that we currently have. And that's not to say that the programs that we're running are bad or dangerous in any way, but they do require a bit more information. And I know that the typical idea of someone who lives in small town Southeast Alaska is they prefer to be more of a private citizen. They have people know their business, and I can get along with that really well. But some of these programs do require a bit more information than I would say most people are comfortable giving. And so it kind of hampers us a little bit. We want to make sure that we can still assist, and that comes into what are we going to evaluate? How are we going to? I know we're a nonprofit, but we have to evaluate not money making opportunities. We have to figure out what we can do to ensure that the programs that we offer are funded. One thing that is very interesting of note for me is we are one of, I want to say two. I know I said off the air that we were the only one. I think we're one of two that Southeast Salvation Army units that does not have a thrift store. The other one being Angoon, but they run a bed and breakfast. And it's great. I ran a bed and breakfast when I was in Cordova working for the Salvation Army, and it was a lot of fun. The one thing that I will say is that it requires a lot of work. I know that in the past, the thrift store here, we've had a couple of different operations, but it's usually been run by volunteers. And so that would be a whole cultivation there. Finding a property would be. It's a long exploratory idea. So me coming in and saying, hey, let's open a thrift store, that's just the start of it, and that's before thinking, what does the community want? That's before thinking, where can we find the space? How can we pay for it? Because coming from Kenai, we do enough money in our thrift stores in the Kenai area, Kenai and Soldotna, to do all rental and utility assistance and the food pantry without any government funding at all. It's a great benefit to the community there because there are so many different providers, and the Salvation Army doing its own money allows those other providers to go after those government grants, so the entire community can be serviced in a very different way. If somebody can't meet the requirements of the government system, the Salvation Army can step in to still provide that assistance. And that's something that we don't have here right now. And so we're going to work very hard to evaluate how we can do that. It's not that we want to get away from those programs. It's that we want to be able to walk in. If somebody comes in and they're just late on their electric bill or whatever it may be, I don't want to say, here's a 25-page application, fill it out, and maybe you might get it. I want to be able to come in and I want to say, look, I understand this is a situation you don't normally get into. Let's help you out this time, and hopefully this works out best. Mm-hmm. You know, and it allows us to just talk in a different manner as opposed to this is what is required and I can't go outside that box.
Exactly. Yeah, instead of you acting as a caseworker that is within the community and knows these people. You've mentioned Kenai and how things might be different there. You've mentioned, other places in Alaska, and you've certainly lived elsewhere in Alaska. I mean, elsewhere than Alaska. Give me a sense of what might be some challenges that Wrangell is facing.
Just looking at, and again, I've only been here a month, so I don't have a whole lot of information.
Sure.
It seems to me that there is talk of bringing stuff back in, more jobs, more opportunities. There's talk of it. I don't know how far that's going. I'm still kind of inundated with Christmas, so I'm still not as active within the community and within my news stream as I probably should be. But it sounds like there's opportunities coming, and the opportunity is to cash in on that and to help people. What we want to do in all seriousness is evaluate where we stand in the community. We've got a lot of different providers. The Seventh-day Adventists do a senior food box every Wednesday. You've got the Senior Center. You've got the Native Corporation that's helping out in many different ways. I sit on the Confiscated Game Meat Committee, which just met, and we're distributing, quite a bit of moose meat right now. It's very great. There are a lot of opportunities, and we just want to be a part of it so that we can help affect change in our community. I think one of the things that I've noticed, just from my standpoint, is that once you get out of school as a kid in the wintertime, it's a little difficult to find activities. And that might just be that I haven't seen any yet. And I'm sure there's quite a few out there. I've been told of a few by some in the Ministerial Association, so that's great. But what can we do to help facilitate that? Maybe it's just hot chocolate on the way home. You know, we'll definitely be looking at it a bit more as Christmas goes in the rearview mirror, and we start looking forward and seeing what we can do. Because I'm pleased as punch to be here. It's amazing to me what God has provided for me and what God has provided for my family. We're moving to a small, close-knit community where people are going to know when my kids are running amok, and that's great. And I'll be able to call somebody else when their kids are running amok. But it's just about bringing everything in together and figuring out where we can. So as far as specific programs or specific things that I've seen, I haven't seen much at this point. I've been kind of confined to my building for the most part.
Yeah, that's okay, John. I mean, clearly you've already talked to, you know, the local churches. You're involved with, like you said, the moose meat distribution. So I know you're already at it. And I always enjoy having the folks from Salvation Army here because I just feel like, you know, even if you haven't lived here your whole life, you have a pulse on some of our most vulnerable populations. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the reality of Wrangell, is what are the folks who are in most need going through? I don't feel like we have a good sense of our community if we're not paying attention to that specific aspect.
And I think one thing to keep in mind is it could very well be your neighbor that's going through these things. I'll tell you, there's some people who I'm sure most people would be shocked when they need assistance. And you would look back and you would say, oh, my goodness. I mean, there was a time in my life personally where I had a repossession on my car. I had lost all my job. It's kind of one of the reasons I came to Alaska, to be honest. But I had nothing. I was sleeping in my car, and then my car got taken. So I was sleeping on a friend's couch, and I was the youth worker at my church. I was a bookkeeper at the cinema, and I sold shoes at Mervyn's. And I still wasn't able to make all my bills. And so sometimes you just struggle. Now, that's California, and that's just an expensive place to live anyway.
Oh, but we're in Alaska.
And it's hard to get one job here at this point, let alone two or three. But if you had asked anyone at my church if I was struggling, they'd have said, no, there's no way. Because I didn't let on. I didn't let people know. And so sometimes we don't know. And one thing that I talk about quite frequently in my sermons, one of the things I say is, maybe you buying a cup of coffee for someone else at the stick is all they need to really encourage them on the day. Maybe buying somebody a sandwich when you go in to the deli at City Market and you grab one for you, maybe grabbing one other one, and just as you walk by someone on the street saying, hey, thought of giving this to somebody, you're the first person, you know, have a great day. Don't look for anything in return, but just giving that out. It could be that the helpful encouragement that people need. One of the things that I used to do when I was selling cars in Anchorage is I would take a little bit more than it cost for my coffee. My coffee with a tip was $5 at my local Motor Mocha. But I would put a 20 or a 50 or something. I'd just say, pay for the next couple of drinks. You know, just let it, and just, I'd drive by in the evening and I'd stop by and I'd ask one of the ladies who was working, and I'd just say, hey, how many drinks did we get out today? And she goes, you know, the first person who had to pay for their own drink was at 4 o'clock, and I usually stop by at 7. So those are great moments to me. Not because anyone knew other than those ladies that were there knew what I was doing, but because other people's days were built up through that. And I think that's an important part. And I know Wrangell's very good in that. What I've been told is that sometimes people just do something out of the kindness of their hearts. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage those who are doing it to continue doing it. And those who maybe haven't taken that step yet, do it. One of the things that I do with my kids, and one of the things we're going to do next year, is we're going to grab a tag off the angel tree and we're going to go shopping. I'm going to take my son and my daughter, and we're going to individually shop for somebody off that tag. And it's just to remind my kids that there's always somebody who needs more than you want. So.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Somebody that needs more than you want. Yeah, I like that.
And so we're just, our hope is that through our example, through our personal actions, the community can see at large that we're here to help. We're here to be part of the community. It's not we're here for a set time and off we go. Rosie and I both feel that we're moving here and we're hoping to stay here for 30 years. Where we don't leave, where we don't move on, we're looking long range. How can we do this? How can we do that? The building that we're in, it's a wonderful building. There are very few Salvation Armies in Alaska that have the capabilities that our building has. And so we're very excited. There are some repairs that need to happen, though. And I will probably be doing a lot of them myself. But if somebody wants to come alongside me and help me power wash the deck on the church next summer, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to say, hey, let's do it together. Mm-hmm. But those are the type of things, because I know there are people in town. I've been told you got friends that'll help you power wash your deck or paint your house. This is a great community from what I've understood and what I've seen. And I'm very excited that I get to, the final few years my kids are in school, they get to see this, right, as they're cultivating their experiences that will lead them to the choices they make in adulthood. They'll get to see a close-knit community that cares about one another, and they'll get to see true generosity in spirit, not just in action.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely, yes. Definitely in spirit and in action, and despite a lot of difficulties that you face in a tiny island mm-hmm. town. Okay, so John, thank you for all of that. I think before we leave, just go ahead and remind folks, you know, it's already December 17th, but how can folks help out the Salvation Army? Yeah.
So if you'd like to contribute to our efforts here, we take donations of time, of talent, and of treasure. Time, if you want to volunteer a little bit, all you have to do is call down to the Salvation Army. And I'm still learning my number. I think it's 874-3753. But all you have to do is give us a call and tell me how you want to do it. We can have you stand a couple hours, 1 hour, 8 hours at one of our bells. And you can ring the bells for us. You can also just drop some money in the bucket if that's how you feel. If you'd like to grab a guitar or grab a musical instrument and go out and stand, that always makes more money than somebody ringing the bell. I tried to do it. My guitar strings broke before I could even get it out this last Saturday. I'm going to try and stand as much as I can too. If you just want to silently give, I do want to remind you that all donations stay local here in Wrangell, despite any mailings that come from my headquarters or from Los Angeles or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. All that money is routed right back here, and I fight for it. I actually, one of the reasons I was a little hurried when I got here this morning, or this afternoon rather, is I was fighting on the phone because they had accidentally moved all of our money for the week into Long Beach, California. Now, Long Beach doesn't need it. So I'm sitting there and I'm on the phone and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And it was the difference of typing a 3 as opposed to a 5 mm-hmm. on the number pad. And so that's all that it did. And it moved it, you know, quite a bit of ways. And so I was like, you know what? Let's get it fixed. And so I'm going to fight diligently to make sure that money donated here stays here. Most of it already does, especially cash. Checks are just routed through one system so that we can cultivate an accountability. The Salvation Army is very good. I've been trying to be very active on our Facebook community boards as much as possible. I just posted a graphic. 83 cents on the dollar goes right back into programs and services. Here in Wrangell, that means 83 cents goes back into the food pantry. Mm-hmm. 83 cents goes back into making sure that I have coffee and food available at all times. And I'm trying to make sure I have hot coffee during the day when the building's open, so anyone can just stop by and you don't have to bring in anything. You don't just come by, grab a cup of coffee and chat. We love that. My wife will love that. I love that. It's going to be great. We're excited. But cash, check, charge. We can do it all if you want to monetarily donate. But we also love people who are willing to give their time. I had a gentleman today. He organized my entire food pantry, swept and mopped my my lunch hall, and that was his day. And it was great, and he loved it, and I was so grateful for that. It allowed me to do other things. So we're very excited. We're very happy, and I'll tell you, we're shocked at how much this community gives.
Yeah, John, awesome. Well, I'm so glad that that's the vibe you're getting from Wrangell, and I'm glad you're advocating for Wrangell already, and you will continue to do so. And thank you for coming in today.
It's been great to be here.
Absolutely. So the time is 1:39. We've been speaking with John, your local Salvation Army officer. And as always, we will be back next week with another guest. See you then.